a family theme. It's always great to hear your voice. And we have the privilege and the pleasure to address our beautiful and gorgeous Jewish listeners here again on the great K-Rook radio station, Chassidei Hashem. We have this great station to give us Jewish music and Jewish Divrei Torah. And of course, we are all Ba'alei Hakarat HaTov, and that's our purpose in the world, to show Hakarat HaTov. And one way to show it certainly is to support the station that we've been dearly listening to, and send them your dedication, your donation. Just text us or call us, and we'll be glad to accept your support of this great institution, this great move to spread Torah and Yirat Shemayim in throughout Klal Yisrael. Well, we are just coming out of another Shabbat. Shabbat is certainly a very holy day, the holiest day. And we're coming out of the Shabbat. We're not the same as we were entering the Shabbat. We are now a person that has experienced another Shabbat, and we have more Kedushah on us, Kedushah to Shabbat. And we can therefore realize it, first of all. And once you realize that you're a Baal, that you have more Kedushah, more Kedushah to Shabbat, then you can utilize it even better. It's like a person. You have to have the da'at of it. The person, let's say, he has an uncle, very rich uncle, and he gave him a gift of millions of dollars, but he put it in a Swiss bank account, and he never told his nephew that he gave him that money. So the guy, the nephew, he's very wealthy. The only problem is he doesn't know about it. So you have to have the da'at. It's not what you have. It's the da'at of what you have. So we have to have now, we're having the da'at that we've emerged from another Holy Shabbat, and therefore we can now be able to absorb things in the world, that's what I'm learning, our emunah, better with this additional Kedushah that we have on us right now of Kedushah to Shabbat. And we say in the Kohelet, it says, "Beyom tovah hiye betov." On a good day, you should be in good. In good means you should enjoy the day. You should be able to utilize the day. Take advantage of the day. A good day is any day you get out of bed. Baruch Hashem, everybody that's listening over here got out of bed today, hopefully, and we have a nice, beautiful, sunny day today. Nice sunny day, blue sky. Go out there, look at the blue sky. It's beautiful. It's a gorgeous sky, and we can utilize it. On Yom Tovah, we should utilize this opportunity. That's why Hashem is giving you a good day, in order for you to utilize the opportunity. And the more you utilize the opportunities, the more good days He's going to give us. So over here, we are learning from Shlomo HaMelech, Yirat Hashem hi chokhma, and utilizing good days, that is certainly a form of Yirat Hashem. But Yirat Hashem hi chokhma, and that the first step of Yirat Hashem, first step of chokhma is Yirat Shamayim, to know that there's a, to realize that you have an awareness of Hashem. And the Kohelet comes on to say, V'halokim asa shiyiru melefanav. And Hashem made the whole world in order for you to be aware of Him. The whole world is a testing to the existence of Hashem in His greatness and His kindness and His wisdom. All three aspects being testified to by every single natural process in the world. All you look at the sun, the moon, the stars, the ocean, whatever you look at, it all testifies to that the Hashem is running the world. Bechokhmah, beirah, and also with his, da'at utmanah sovim hodo, and he has his chokhmah binah v'da'at. Everything is running the world with his wisdom. Godlo v'tuvo male olam da'at. Godlo means his greatness, his power. Tuvo is his kindness. Da'at is his wisdom. So we see all those three aspects and everything in the world, and we should examine everything in the world to see those aspects. Now we see in the beginning of our Torah a tremendous pasuk. It says, "Vayar Elokim kol asher asah ve'hineh tov me'od." After God created the world, created all the beautiful and tremendous things in the world, the sun, the moon, the stars, He created man, He created animals, created everything, air, created all the things, He created animal, He created food, He created rain. And all these things He created, He said it was good. When He created those things, He said, "Or ki tov." He saw that the light was good, And then at the end of the whole creation, he goes and he recapitulates and he reiterates and he repeats and he says, Ayad Elohim, God looked back and he saw everything that he made and it's very good. Tov me'od, very, very good. He already told us it was good and he is all good. But what does he got to tell us that it's very good for? It's a little bit redundant. We know whatever he makes us is very good. It's good, but he wants us to know it's for our edification. It's in order for us to enjoy. He wants us to know how very, very good this world is. Like your mother made you a dinner. Whatever she makes certainly is very good for you. But she tells you, honey, I made you this spaghetti, and it's very good. I know you like the spaghetti, and I made this spaghetti. It's very good. But when she says, your mother tells you it's very good, it means she wants you to enjoy it even more. And Hashem wants us to enjoy the world even more. That's why he's telling us what a good world it is. And once we are able to enjoy it even more, then we have to thank the giver even more. We thank our mother even more. We thank Hashem even more because he gave us a very good world. That's why it's important to let people know. When you give a person a gift, you should tell them how good the gift is. First of all, you should tell them that you gave the gift. So they know who to be beholding to. They know who to love a little bit more. So you don't keep your name off the gift. Don't give it anonymously. You give a guy a card, a birthday card, you write on the end of the card. You don't give your name off the card. You write on the card. Hope you enjoy your birthday, Jack. Hope you enjoy the birthday, Abraham. Put your name on the card. So the man, every time he looks at the card, when he got the card, he realizes that Abraham has good feelings for him. And he wants him to enjoy that birthday. And then he reciprocates. He has a good feel. Every time he sees Abraham in the street, he goes, oh, that Abraham, he gave me a beautiful birthday card. So you have to, Hayav Tzarich Lehodi'o, because in order to evoke good feelings toward the other person and also tell him how good the gift is. So the person should really enjoy the gift even more. So Hashem is telling us that this world is a very good world. He wants us to enjoy it so much, very, very much. He's telling us, examine the world. You'll see what a very good world it is. Go out there today. Just notice all the beautiful things in the world. Go notice the sky, the sun, the seashore. Notice the grass. Go to the zoo. Notice all the animals, how perfectly they're made, how they're different. How they're able to do so many things, how they stand on 4 feet, how you have a snake has no feet. You have birds, they have no feet, they can fly. How can a bird fly? You ever think about that? You ever examine a bird? How can he get off the ground? How does he fly? Because it was designed to fly. It could never happen by mistake. It's impossible. So all these things in the world are there. What did he make it for? For our benefit, that we could be aware of Hashem. Then once we're aware of Hashem, we can have more emunah in Hashem, and we can thank him profusely. That's the idea. We can thank him endlessly. But why? Because he's revealing to us. Kind enough to give us that revelation throughout the world. And a person has to be basically blind not to see all the things in the world. Or he could be, as for shalom, an ingrate. A guy gets gifts from his parents or from whoever he's getting it from, and he doesn't feel behooving to these parents, to these people, to his parents. He doesn't feel that he owes them anything. He feels it's coming to them. And that's called an ingrate. Now, Rambam gives us a tremendous yesod, a tremendous tetach, a tremendous opening, how we can gain Yirat Shamayim in a basically not too difficult manner. But this was the derech of Abraham Avinu. How did Abraham Avinu gain Yirat Shamayim? How did he gain Emunah Hashem? In this manner, Abraham actually says it right at the beginning of the Rambam's Sefer, Mishneh Torah, in Hilchot Abodat Kochavim. He explains many beautiful things that are left out in the Torah about Abraham Avinu, how he discovered Hashem. So it's good to look into that. But Rambam is writing in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah. He says, quote, what is the way to his love and fear of Hashem? What's the way to love and fear of Hashem? He says, when one reflects upon his wonders and great deeds and creations and sees in them his wisdom, his kindness, and his power, which have no measure and no end, and sof, and boket, then he will surely love and praise Hashem. Now, David HaMelech writes, Hashamayim misaperim ke'ud kel, he said it yesterday in the prayers, says the heavens are bespeaking the honor of Hashem. Maaseh Adam, Magid HaRakia. And all of the heavens and heavenly heavens, all the Rakia, all the stars and the sun and the moon, all the things in the heavens, they are bespeaking the kindness of Hashem. Maaseh Adam, all the existence of Hashem, all the plans of Hashem. So we can see all these things are, we can see in all these things we can see in the heavens. See the clouds also, planets, hair, all these kinds of things. All is chesed. Everything is chesed. And we say it in the Tehillim, said it yesterday, continues, chesed Hashem male'a ha'aretz. Every single thing in this world is full of chesed. That's the number one thing. That's what Abraham Abinu saw. He saw chesed. That's why Abraham is called Amud ha'chesed. He is the pillar of chesed. Ala Torah, ala Abudah, ala Gimirut Chasadin, that's Abraham Abinu. When he saw that chesed, he saw that kindness in the world, in every single thing in the world, how he was able to eat food and it became skin, and he was able to digest the food and expel the waste. He saw the chesed, unbelievable. Once he got those chesed glasses on and that attitude of chesed, he was able to see chesed in everything in the world. He saw trees. When he saw trees all over the place, trees all over the forest. What did he see in trees? He didn't just see trees. He saw in trees, he saw firewood. He saw cooking. He saw all those trees are there for us to cook with. He saw trees. He saw houses. When he saw a tree, he saw a house. He said, oh, whoever made all those trees, he made us trees in order that we'd be able to make homes to live in. And he saw trees, maybe in the future, they made paper out of trees. That's what we have, the wood, the paper we have, the pulp is made, the paper is made from the wood. So all those trees, we need a lot of paper in this world. Hashem made a lot of trees, and there's a million more reasons why we have so many trees in the world. But when they expel oxygen, they bring in carbon dioxide, and they expel oxygen. That's trees. Trees are also responsible for all the, about the food that's coming off the tree. What about all the fruit that's coming off the tree? A lot of beautiful things that are coming out of this tree, but we got to notice it. Chesed Hashem Malei Haaretz is full of chesed. And that's what Abraham Abinu saw, and that's how he became Abraham Abinu. He's Anak Sheba Anakim. He's the giant of all giants. He's the first mover. He's our great progenitor, the father of all the Jewish people, and even the father of the many other nations of the world. He's the father, Abraham Abinu. Now, we have to see chesed in everything that Hashem does. And we even see, Yaducha Hashem Kol Maasecha, Yodiyah Rene Adam Gevurotav. Everything Hashem is doing is all attesting to his deeds, in order for what? Because he wants to reveal to mankind that Hashem created it all. All for our benefit, out of love for us. And we should love him back. Hakarat HaTov. And Hashem is revealed in the world, and he's so revealed and concealed at the same time. That is something unbelievable what he does. Hashem is so open and at the same time concealed. Hashem has the sun in the sky and his light all over the world, and he conceals it with the sun in the sky. Think about that. There's light all over the world. That was half the world at one time. And Hashem is utilizing the sun to conceal the source of the light. It's an unbelievable thing to do, because he wants us to have a test, to have free will, to realize that Hashem is the source of all the light. If the light was all over the world, and there was no sun, well, first of all, do you think Hashem needs the sun to bring the light to the world? He doesn't need any sun. The sun could be emanating from outer space. Without the light could be emanating from outer space without sun. But Hashem is hiding the source of the light in order to give us the opportunity to realize that he is the source of the light. And all of nature is like that. Now we see in our parasha also chesed. We see a chesed with the Klal Yisrael. We know in our parasha, the Jewish people, they were in the desert for 38 years, and they were headed towards Eretz Yisrael. And they wanted to cut through the land of Edom. Edom, that's Esav. Esav, you have to know, Esav and Yaakov were brothers. And they had the same blood running through their veins. They're the same from the same race. From the race of Shem, that they're Semites, and they were raised in the house of Yitzhak and Rivka, and their grandpa was Abraham Abinu. So they had a lot, so much in common. And so the Edomites, the Edom, even many generations later, still certainly bear the physical features of Yaakov, of Bnei Israel, physical features. Ideologically, they were gone, finished. Now they also kept the language of Yitzhak and Rivka. It's a big chidush. Chidush brought down by Avigdor Miller that they spoke Lashon HaKodesh. Bnei Edom spoke Lashon HaKodesh just like the Jewish people did. And they probably cooked the same foods that we cooked. They made the same chicken we made. They said they had traditions that were carried on throughout. So this would raise a very big danger, big sakana. Should the Jewish people go through that land, they're going to meet up with this nation that talk like us, that cook like us, that look like us, that sounded like us. And this is a great danger of assimilation. Great, great danger. And Hashem, through his chesed, he said that he wanted to spare us this danger of assimilation. And therefore, he did not let Edom let us go through their land. We thought it was a terrible thing, but it was not. It was a big chesed that Hashem did for the Jewish people. Now, last night, we had a Birkat HaLevana. We had a blessing of the new moon. And had a beautiful moon out last night. It was a clear sky. It was a bright moon. After a cloudy day, a semi-rainy day-ish, and yet it cleared up for the Birkat HaLevana. So we have to know that Hashem has created our moon, and he told us that he did it on the fourth day of creation. And David HaMelech writes, Shemesh Yadat Mevo'o. Say it in the Barachi Nafshi. Hashem made the moon for the Mu'adim, for the holidays. We're not supposed to count the holidays. That's the Jewish holidays. Shemesh Yadat Mevo'o. He made the sun that we should know where it came from. Where it came from, that Hashem created the sun. So the main purpose of Hashem creating the moon is for us to realize that he... Now you have to know the moon and the sun. The moon is a symbol of the Jewish people. The moon is the smallest orb in the sky. It's a symbol of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are the smallest nation on earth. Smallest on earth. And the sun is a symbol of the Goyim. The Goyim are huge, huge Goyim. Now we know in the beginning of creation, there's the famous Agadita, that the sun and the moon, when at the beginning, Shirim Me'orot, they were the same size. And the sun and the moon, they had a vikuah, they had a machloket, they had an argument. Said, hey, we don't need two kings in the sky. Let's one of us be the king, the other one will be the queen. One will be big, the other one will make us be small. So Hashem called the moon, you know what? You make yourself smaller. He told the Yisrael, I'm going to make you smaller because that's my plan in the world. Although Hashem really knew that the Bnei Yisrael deserved to be the larger one and the largest one in the sky, more than the Goyim. But Hashem had his reasons. And he made the moon smaller and made the Bnei Yisrael smaller. Actually, we say it in Musaf, Hashem actually is going to, at the end of the day, es mechila, that he did es mechila for the Klal Yisrael, so to speak, abdil, es mechila, that he had to ask the Jewish people, had to make the Jewish people the smallest nation on earth. So again, the purpose of the Hashem creating the moon is for us to realize that he made it. That's a very big understanding. Why did Hashem create the moon? In order for us to realize that he created the moon. So let's contemplate the moon for a second. Let's think about it. First of all, when you look at the moon, you see it has a roundness to it. I'm not saying it's perfectly round, but it has a round shape. It's not triangular for sure. And it's not rectangular for sure. And the moon, really, in reality, it has no light of its own. It's dead. It's dead as a doornail. Why is that? Why is the moon? Why didn't Hashem make the moon have its own light? I mean, if you got up in the morning, you just came to this world, and he saw a big full moon, gorgeous big full harvest moon. And it's shining like crazy. And it's reflecting off the ocean. Fantastic. And you would say, you would bet everything that moon has its own light, not any different than the sun. But after some time passed, you'll realize the moon does not have its own light. So but the question is, why didn't Hashem create the moon to have its own light? So it wouldn't detract anything. The moon, it looks like it has its own light, but so create it that way. So we have to know that Hashem is giving us a heads up. He's giving us a model. is now telling us that just like the moon really doesn't have its own light, don't think that the sun has its own light. The moon is getting its light from the sun, and the sun is getting its light from Hashem. It has does not have any of its own light. So every once in a while, when you're walking in the street with your children or with yourself, take a look at the sun and point at the sun if you want and say, you can't fool me, Mr. Sun. I know that you don't have any of your own light. You're dead like the moon. All the light that you have is only due to Hashem giving you the light, and that's behind the sun. Just like the moon's light is coming from the sun behind the moon, the sunlight is coming from Hashem behind the sun. Now when you take, we're trying to gain Yirat Shemayim over here, so maybe today is a good day if you take the kids to the zoo. You should also, let's look for some design. Look for the design, Yirat Shemayim, gain Yirat Shemayim. Notice that all the mammals give birth to the young whole. Not like a chicken. A chicken gives birth to an egg. The egg hatches, it's not whole, it comes out in an egg. But a mammal, a cat, when it gives birth to a baby cat. A dog to a baby dog. All these mammals give birth to an actual baby. Even an elephant gives birth to an actual giraffe. Gives birth to an actual giraffe, not to an egg. Gives birth to a full-blown young. And they all give mother's milk. Every single mammal gives mother's milk to the baby. Now that's an unbelievable plan. How could that be just like that? You have thousands of mammals in the world, and they all are able to generate mother's milk to nourish their young. And that mother's milk is the best possible formula for their young. And cat's milk isn't good for the dog. And dog's milk isn't good for the mouse. Mouse's milk is not good for the elephant or any other mammals that are out there, any other warm-blooded animal. Everybody's milk is good basically for its own offspring. Even a whale. A whale is a mammal that gives milk to its young. A bat gives milk to its young. So we have to see over here, we see a design and a designer, plan and purpose. That's going to generate Yirat Shemayim. When you go to the zoo, also we're saying, notice how all the animals have two eyes. The goat has two eyes, and the sheep has two eyes, and even the snake has two eyes. And the birds all have two eyes. And the lion's got two eyes, and the tiger's got two eyes, and all of these animals got two eyes. You got to notice that. So it has to mean that there was one designer that designed them all with two eyes. There's no one-eyed animals or birds in the zoo, or three eyes neither, or four eyes as well. So there was one designer that's creating the whole world. He designed the whole world. And what's the main reason he designed them all with two eyes? The main reason is in order for us to notice that there's one designer that created them with two eyes. So we have to notice that. But once you get into the mode of noticing these things, these types of things, you'll notice more and more and more and more. This is endless. Chokhma amuka she'en bo ketz, that the Rambam tells us. It's a deep wisdom that has no bottom. It's a bottomless wisdom. And we can readily see these things with our own two eyes. So now, let's think. You can go today to the seashore. You look at the ocean. It's vast. Vast ocean. And there's so many fish in there. Millions of fish in the ocean. And the fish, what are they doing in the ocean? They're feeding the world. That what a chesed. Hashem is putting all these fish in the ocean, even the unkosher ones, to feed the goyim. They're feeding the world, the lobsters and the crabs. Goyim are feeding off those things. They're being fed. They're being nourished. Now, the water, now before, when you look at that ocean, I want you to notice, in the end of the ocean, it seems like the ocean ends. If you look by your eyes, I think it's like maybe 10 miles out, something like that. The ocean looks like it ends. Not only does it look like it ends, it seems like by your eyes is an illusion that the heaven and the ocean, the sky and the ocean touch. Now, in reality, they never touch, ever. They never, ever touch. The sky never touches the ocean. But the eye would tell you, you'd ask your kids, hey, what does it look like out there? He says, yes, I would bet everything that the ocean and the sky touch. Now, if you take a boat out there to the horizon, you see it doesn't touch, and then there'll be another horizon 10 miles further out. So this is an illusion that we're trying to, Hashem created such an illusion. Of course, you have to ask, why did Hashem create this illusion? At this, it's very deep. You know, Hashem didn't have to create this illusion. He could have created the, could have created it where the, doesn't look like the sky or the ocean touch. So we have to try to think about that, and we see that we need to use our eyes and our mind. Like the Torah tells us, "Api shene edim yakum adavar." You need two witnesses. Over here, one witness is your eyes, and the other witness is your mind. So we see that over here, it's a very important learning that we have to learn. The eyes are very important, that we can learn a lot of truths from the eyes. But we have to know, we need the eyes and the mind in order to bring them together, to get together, to get the full truth of these things. Now, again, when we're talking about illusions, you see over here, Hashem creates an illusion of the horizon. Also, the eyes cannot see all the fish under the ocean. You can't see the fish. There's a zillion fish under the ocean, but you can't see them. So you have to ask, why didn't Hashem make it that you could see all these fish? Also, there's a trillion stars, trillions upon trillions of stars in the sky. But in the daytime, you can't see them at all. If you look up in the sky in the daytime, you will bet that there's no stars in the universe, because you cannot see them. At night, they come out. But in the daytime, you cannot see the stars. So this is design. This is a purpose. One of the purposes is a lot of purposes, a million purposes. But one we can discern is, why did Hashem do such a thing? That your eyes are not telling you the whole story. The eyes are not telling you that there are a trillion stars in the sky. The eyes are not telling you that there are a trillion fish in the ocean. Your eyes are not telling you that the horizon is not really true, that it really doesn't really touch. Because they want to teach us, Hashem wants to teach us, you have to know there are things in this world that your eyes cannot see, but they're there. Your eyes cannot see the stars, but they're there. They cannot see the fish, but they're there. And once you get that into your mind, then you'll realize, you'll be able to understand a little bit better that your eyes cannot see Hashem in this world, but He's there. He's more real than anything in this whole world. He's the only real thing in this world. Everything else is His imagination. And that we have to get in our minds. We are only existing inside the imagination of Hashem. And His imagination is very real. Don't make any mistake about it. But it's inside of Hashem's imagination. Ki amar bayei, He's willing the world to be. His will. If He took His will off the world, it would disappear into nothing. Nothing is zero. Not into ashes, not into rubble, but into air, to nothing. Okay. So now, we are also looking at the ocean, and we are getting another idea from the ocean. We have to realize that the ocean is a source of our water, our drinking water. And how could that be? Because the ocean is full of brine. You can't drink the ocean water. So we have to know, Hashem, in order to facilitate that the drinking water is brought to us, because we need more water than anything else here to survive. We need water, more than food. Our body is 90% water. So Hashem brings the ocean, the big, vast ocean. That's why the ocean is two-thirds of the world. What does He need such a big ocean for? Well, He needs them for fish, like we said, but also for the water, for the people as well. So how is He going to get that water into our glass? That's the big problem. So water cannot be the result of evolution, chas v'shalom. It's not the result of development from the simple to the complex. Not development from the simple, but it's a design implanted into the universe. And the design is called the rain cycle, the rain hashkafa, Rabbi Miller used to call it. And it works sort of like this. It says Hashem creates the ocean, and it's full of brine. You cannot drink the ocean water. But then Hashem brings a sun in the sky, 93 million miles away in the sky. That's a far away sun, very far. And the sun and the ocean are working together in partnership, called the symbiosis. And the sun is beating down on the ocean, millions of tons of horsepower, the rabbi would call it. All this energy is beating down on the ocean. And it's evaporating the ocean. And a water vapor is rising from the ocean. And that water vapor is pure water, pure vapor. That water vapor rises lighter than air against gravity, lighter than air against gravity, that water vapor. And it goes up to the sky, and it forms clouds. And those clouds are full of pure, clean water. Now, it needs another element in order for us to get that pure water into our glass in order to drink. those clouds have to be conveyed over the land. And so Hashem brings a wind from nowhere. Hashem haruach, merit ha-geshem. Hashem brings that wind to blow over those clouds, to convey that cloud, to convey the water over our land in order for us to drink, in order to water our food, our potatoes, our tomatoes, our carrots, in order that all to water our grass, and from that grass, our cows eat the grass, the sheep eat the grass, and then we have meat from the sheep. The sheep eat grass and give us meat. They give us meat, milk, leather, and wool. Unbelievable. Think about that. The sheep eats grass, and it gives us meat, milk, leather, and wool, all from grass. What a miracle, from grass. So the rabbi would say, let's see, could you give us all those things? Let me see you eat grass and give us meat, milk, leather, and wool. Can't give us anything. But he's giving us all that. It's a transformation process. He's able to convert grass into all these things. It's energy. He's able to make matter into energy and energy into matter. This is a tremendous moment. Every time we see that grass, we're walking in the street, we see grass, tell yourself, tell your children, that grass is not grass. That grass is our wool coat. That grass is the leather on our shoes. That grass is milk. When you have sheep's milk or goat's milk, that grass is our milk. Or even cow's milk, they're eating grass. That grass is our milk. That grass is our meat. We have a steak, that's grass. So then we start to appreciate the greatness and the power and the kindness of Hashem. And this is what our purpose is in the world. And everybody can do it. And that's what the Rambam is telling us. And that's what Abraham Avinu did. That's how he went into the world. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Abraham Avinu called out in the name of Hashem. He didn't just say Hashem. They didn't know what he's talking about. He explained to the people the kindness, power, and wisdom of Hashem. He explained to the people much, much more than I'm telling you about the grass, about the animals, about the eyes, about the wind, about the water. About he saw all these things. Abraham Avinu was the greatest, the most original thinker that ever walked the face of this earth, ever. So we are taking a look about some of these things to gain emunah and yirat shamayim, which are basically the same thing. So we say over here in the prayers every day, Hashaleach imratu aret had nehera yirutz devaro. So King David is saying, Hashaleach means Hashem, that sends down imratu, his word. His word, what word yehi? Aret, he's sending it down to this world. Imratu, umar vayehi, says imratu is the light. That was the first thing he said. He's sending his light down to this aretz, to this world. How fast? Ad mehera, 186,000 miles per second. He's sending it down here. So, when you're driving down the parkway today or another day, you should notice the green. Notice how much green there is in the world. So, you have to know Hashem designed the green all for chesed. And there's no blue grass. There's not much blue grass, yellow grass. Everything is basically a green color. Why? First of all, he wants you to know that there's one designer that made it all green. The trees are green, the bushes are green, the grass is green, everything's green. There has to be one designer, one power, made them all green. So he wants you to give you the heads up that there's one designer. And why green? Because green is a very common color on a person's neshama. Hashem made the neshama in such a way that green is going to be a common color, and Hashem loves us, so he wants us to be calm. And therefore, he creates all of these, all the green in the world in order for us to be calm. When you go out today, try to feel, sit, stand in the sun for a second, and stand still and close your eyes and start to feel. You're going to feel the heat of the sun on your face. Now, that sun is coming down from 93 million miles away. That's a very far distance. You know, it takes 8.25 minutes for the sunlight to come down here to the world from the sun. It's a long time, 8.25 minutes, and the sun, the light is traveling 180,000 miles per second. But the sun is 93 million miles away. It's over 8 minutes it takes for that light to come down to this earth. So if you could think about it theoretically, actually, if the sun was to disappear, was hit by a star, Chas v'Shalom, that light would still be coming down to us for the next 8 minutes. The light that it had emanated from 8 minutes prior to it not being there anymore is still being traveling down to the earth for that 8 minutes now. So when you're in the sunlight, feel the heat on your face and enjoy it. Now, that was designed for you to feel it. Because you didn't have to feel that heat on your face. Hashem could have designed it. You don't feel the heat. Now, the sun is the source of life of the whole planet. It puts its energy into all of our food. to put this energy into you. When you are eating a piece of fruit or eating any food, it's the energy of the sun that you're eating. It's that energy that's giving you the energy to move and to talk and to see. It's that energy that's being transferred from the energy of the sun into the food, into you. Now, all that could still work without feeling the heat of the sun. But Hashem wants you to realize He's sending you a heads up. He's sending you a letter, sending you an email to tell you that heat is coming down from, He's sending you the sun. He's reminding you that, He's sending you that heat. It's like a kiss from the sun. He loves you. He reminds you that He loves you. And that's why you're here in this world. You are the will of Hashem. So every once in a while, every time you feel that heat, you're feeling it. Oh, you remind you that Hashem sent you that kiss from the sun. So throw him a kiss back. Don't worry about it. It's a good thing to do. These are just some of the tachbulot, stratagems, that we need to utilize to gain a yirat shemayim, awareness of Hashem. And we need to train ourselves to always look to notice Hashem and notice the kindness, the power, and the wisdom of Hashem. It's all in His creations. So now, let's talk about the Parah Adumah, our parasha. And we have to know, we have three types of mitzvot in the Torah. And they include eduyot, those are testimonies, like Shabbat. Zeche lema'aseh bereshit, it's a testimony for the Shabbat. Mishpatim, we have mishpatim. Mishpatim, which are readily understandable, not steal, not kill, those are mishpatim. And we have the third type, which is called hukim. Hukim are not, there are no reasons given by Hashem in the Torah. Now, Chachamim certainly can delve into it, and you can get some of the amen, it's for some of the taste of the reasons. Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam explain some of the depth, but to get to the bottom of the reason, as far as the Torah is concerned, Hashem Himself did not give you the reason. For example, kosher food. Hashem didn't give you the reason for kosher food. Doesn't give you that reason. Or right now, the hawk we're talking about is Chanez. Chanez, you can't wear wool and linen together. There's no reason given in our Torah for that particular mitzvah. You know, and those kind of mitzvot are the sweetest ones. The ones that Hashem does not give us a reason. The only reason that we're doing them is because we're commanded by the Creator of the universe, and we're created by the one that loves us, the one that's keeping us going, the one that's giving us a day of life. Now, that's a very important thought. We are doing the will of the one that's giving us a day of life. And we have to think about that. And that's, you know, the least we can do for Hashem that's giving us a day of life. First of all, we have to admit that He's giving us a day of life. Where else is the day of life coming from? Huh? It's not coming from the government. Not coming from wherever you might think it's, because that day of life, a person gets up every single day, only the Hashem. Hashem is the one that wakes you up every day. Hashem is waking us up every day through his chesed. And we are obliged, certainly, once we realize that, to show our appreciation, our gratitude. So how can we do that? By doing what He wants us to do, by doing His will. And when we're doing His will with things we don't understand, that's the best way. That's the best way for us to do it, because we're showing our allegiance, our steadfastness, our loyalty, and our good character by trying to reciprocate. And the only way we could reciprocate is by doing what Hashem wants us to do. And those are 613 mitzvot that He's telling us what He wants us to do. It's like your daddy. Your daddy, he does everything for you. So he tells you, son, could you do this for me? Oh, you stand up. Yes, daddy. I can't wait. I'd love to do it for you. I don't know why he wants me to do it, but the fact that my daddy asked me to do what he wants me to do, that gives me the opportunity to thank him back somewhat for some of the things he's doing for me. Now, the beginning of our parasha says, Sot Chukat HaTorah. Sot Chukat HaTorah. The whole Torah means the whole Torah is a chuk. Now, when Shlomo HaMelech looked at the Parah Adumah, he exclaimed, I thought I was wise, but when I saw the Parah Adumah, I saw the wisdom, Rehokahe Mimeni. This is the Kohelet says that it's very, very far from me. This Chokhmah was very far. Now, that doesn't mean to say, since we cannot fathom Parah Adumah, we are free from gleaning some truths from it, but we can see, if we look intently, remazim, hints, which we can learn from. This is not to say that Shlomo Melech did not know this. Certainly he did. Shlomo was concerned with knowing Parah Adamah in its depth, in its entirety. In the first Perek in Kiddushin, we learn of a goy, Amat Ben Netina. The Haramim had come to him, for they had heard he possessed specific gems, which they required for the Ephod from the Kohen Gadol, his breastplate. Then Amat Ben Netina refused to sell the gems to the sage, for he refused to wake up his father. His father was sleeping on them, and he laid his head down upon these gems. The Haramim went away, and I imagine they purchased what they needed elsewhere. However, for this act of Kibud Ab, Hashem caused to be born to the flock of Dama ben Netina as a reward, a Parah Aduma, a perfect red cow, perfect. And a perfect, there was no black hairs on it. There was no yolk that ever was never worked in the field. It was just perfectly red. And it was very rare item, most precious item in the world, actually, approach Adam, precious animal. And once again, the Chachamim came to him. And the man, when he greeted them, he knew the reason for their visit and said, I know that you give me all the money in the world for the Parah Adamah. However, I want only the money that I lost when I was unable to sell you the gem for the breastplate. So now he said, quote from the Gemara, all the money in the world. The Rabbi Miller is saying, this informs us that the Parah Adamah is equivalent to the worth of the world. And yet, in Devarim, it states, behold to Hashem, quote, behold to Hashem, your Hashem are the heavens, Hashamayim, the highest heavens and the earth, and all which is on it and in it, only with your fathers, Rak be'avotecha hashach Hashem, only with your fathers that Hashem cherish, to love them and to choose their seed after them, Bachem in you. That means we who have come afterwards, from all the nations as to this day, it means today. This tells us that when we look at the Torah Jew, we must train ourselves and realize we are looking at that which is more important than the universe. He is worth more than all the money in the world. Now, this is hard for some to fathom. However, what can we do? This is what Hashem has declared. Now, both the Parah Adumah and the Jew are equal to the worth of the universe. It means they are also equal to each other. Hence, what can we learn from this? The Parah Adumah was a beautiful animal to look at. All of its hair is the same color. Simply to come see this animal would be worth the trip. The Parah Adumah was not a korban. It was not shechted in the Azara. It was brought a distance from the boundaries of the Beit HaMikdash. And there it was slaughtered. Then this beautiful animal was burnt to ashes. And at that point, it had the ability to purify an Abi Abot HaTumah, a person that was defiled by a dead corpse, someone who was Tameh Met. Therefore, the Parah Adumah reached its true purpose only after it had been destroyed. Parah Adumah, when it was in and of itself, and it wasn't slaughtered, and it wasn't burnt, it didn't achieve anything. It didn't achieve its purpose at all. The only time it achieved its purpose was after it went through this whole ritual of being slaughtered, being burnt, and being mixed with special waters. Then it was worthwhile. It achieved its purpose. The rabbi explains, so too with the Jew. Once a Jew has passed away, he's buried in the ground, he's converted into dust and ashes, that is when the Jew has reached his full purpose of Olam Haba. This world is only meant to be a preparation for the next world. We must have this in mind as we busy ourselves with perfecting ourselves and accumulating mitzvot. Just as the Parah Adumah had to be perfect, so we too have to be perfect. Therefore, in this direction, we should strive all our days while we're still alive, to reach our fullest perfection in this world, to be privy to the fullest reward in the next world. These are the words of Rabbi Avigdor Miller. And he says further, this is the statute of the Torah. This is Chukat HaTorah. The subject of Parah Adumah is based on the fact of the Tumah of a dead body, the defilement of a dead body, which is the most severe form of uncleanliness, and is called the father of the fathers of Tumah. It is more severe than tumat sheret. You could have a tumat from a dead animal, or tumat zav, tumat nida. This is the highest level of tumat, and it needs this special ritual of cleansing through a Parah Adumah, which is very, very mysterious. All the other ones don't need this. They just got to do a different kind of ritual, tevilah. They have to go dunk themselves in a mikveh and so on and so forth. So rabbis we're trying to explain and understand, why is it specifically with defilements with a dead body? Why is this the highest level of tumah? So listen carefully. So he says, one explanation for this severity of the uncleanliness of the dead is as follows. And he brings the Chobot Levavot. He declares that the first and most prevalent doubt concerning the principles of Torah is the doubt in the truth of life after death. That's where the Yetzer Hara tries to attack us, in the truth of life after death. That's Hasharat HaNefesh. That's Techiyat HaMetim. That's Olam Haba. All really one package. So it tries to make us doubt that. Now, if you doubt that, you don't get it. We can readily perceive the reason for this persistence of such a doubt, for the fact of death itself. When a person is confronted by such a catastrophic phenomenon as death actually is, it requires strength of character and of intelligence to overcome the powerful impression caused by death of a person. The impression of a death of a person is powerful. When they take a person, Valeno, and they lower him into the ground, and they put dirt over him, and they put him and they bury him, that looks like it's over. It's a powerful impression. In order to reinforce the confidence in existence after death, it's imperative that we have as little contact with the death as with the dead as possible. And also that the dead be buried immediately. To encourage this refraining from contact and to encourage immediate burial, the extreme strictures of tum'ah of the dead are especially effective. Although this should require that the unclean from contact with the dead should encamp on the outside of the city, that because death is a part of regular phenomenon, such a stretch will be impractical. Now, an example of the discouragement which could result from the phenomenon of death is offered by the episode of Esav. Now, Esav said, "Behold, I'm going to die. Hini anochi holech lamut. And why do I need the birthright?" You know, he sold his birthright to Yaakov. Why? Because he was disheartened. Why? By the process of death brings, because Abraham had just passed away. Esav no longer saw any virtue in the privilege of serving as the firstborn and the mentor of the next generation. But Yaakov lived for the future, and he refused to be discouraged. And therefore, in view of the prospect of death, he valued even more the opportunities which life affords. But for many men, the reaction to death is, eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Death discourages the non-thinkers. The rabbi goes on further, and he says, this introduction comes to emphasize the necessity of the fulfilling the following stipulations to teach that the sole method of becoming purified is the total obedience to Hashem's words. Zot chukat haTorah. Only Hashem is able to purify, and those that seek purity must do so by the punctilious observance, the strict observance of His regulations, even though we may see no purpose in them. This is a binyan av and a model for all seekers of true purity. Including, they have to take a perfect heifer, perfect para. Including a perfect is also the requirement that the color should be perfect, without any hairs of a different color. Here we see the possibility of understanding this mystifying procedure of the purification by para aduma. This calf, with a beautiful coat of red hair, without a blemish, even in the perfection of its color, was therefore a rarity, and so expensive that its owner became wealthy when he sold it to the public. Yet, despite its striking beauty, this enormously costly creature, could only accomplish nothing of the purification process while it was still in its state of beauty. Only after slaughtering it and burning it could it achieve the purpose of purification. This symbolizes a vastly important parallel. The Israelite, the Jew to Hashem, is the most precious object in the world. Even one Jew is more valuable than the entire universe. So as we said over here, the ultimate purification of a Jew is of course accomplishing in this life and striving towards perfection. He is making us perfect through his mitzvot. He is making it purifying us through his mitzvot. And then at the end, after 120 years, the final purification is only happening when a person is being prepared for and readied for and putting on the clothes for Olam Haba, which is when a person passes away, that's he now passes into or enters into the Olam Haba. That is the process. Only through the passing away process can a person enter the Olam Haba. So the Tumah of a dead is the father of fathers of uncleanliness, the most severe of Tumah. Why is the dead body of a Jew most unclean of all objects? A number of reasons are available. One is a Jew is beloved to Hashem more than any other object in the world. Only in your father did Hashem delight to love them, and he chose them in all the nations as all of this day. But not only is the Israel beloved more than other people, but for the preceding verse it says, behold, Hashem, your God, belongs the heaven and the heavens above the heavens. Only in the fathers come to the prayer that the Israelite is more beloved than any object in the entire universe. Therefore, the death of an Israelite is the saddest of all tragedies. So now, we have to know that a hawk, which we're talking about now, it shows the strength of character to say you don't know why, but you're humbling your will to a greater authority, including your mother or your father. You don't know why they ask you certain things, but you're subjecting. That's showing humility. This is the purpose of life. It's a big purpose to refine your character. So when you are humble and you're refining your character in this manner, it shows a subjugation. It breeds hakarat hatov. So when we say it every morning, it's a practice I'd like to teach everybody. I want to impart this idea, share it with everybody out there, because we do it so often. We say the word Baruch. We start the Amidah, we say it three times a day, the Amidah, we say the word Baruch. Baruch Atah Hashem. We say the Baruch many times in the Amidah. But we start off with the first Baruch. Baruch, Rav Amiel explains, comes from the word Berkayim. Berkayim means your knees. So Baruch, we bend our knees. So we should bend our knees. What are we bending our knees to? We're bending our knees, we're bending our back, we're feeling on our back. Oh, we're saying that I am bending down, I am weighed down. Think that when you're bending your back, think of all the good things that are on your back and say in your mind, it's weighing me down. All the eyesight, all the walking, all the talking, all the food, all the mother, all the father, all the sisters, all the good things, all the Torah, it's on my back, it's weighing me down. I am in debt. I owe you, Hashem, for all these things. And you should feel that way. And there's no answer. When you get, hold it down for a few seconds. And then you come back and say, Ata Hashem. It's only coming from you, Hashem. All this, everything I have, is only Ata. It's only from you, Hashem. So this is a way to start your Amidah. This is called Hakarat HaTov, Achna'ah. And then you have to say, I'm getting all these things, and it's not for free. Air is not for free. Life is not for free. Nothing is for free. So we have to know that we have an obligation to try to pay back the giver in every situation. Of course, you can't send Hashem a check. You can't do that. But the way to pay him back is at least to do his will, to come to shul, put on a tefillin, to be kind to people, to put tzedakah on the box, to spread to your Jewish brothers, spread love. This is the way to pay Hashem back. And you say, when you're doing these things, I'm doing all these things in order to serve you, Hashem. And this is a way to fulfill our purpose in life by serving Hashem, by doing everything, Hashem Shemayim. Behold, derachecha da'ehu, as Shlomo HaMelech says in the Mishlei. So go out there today. Enjoy the day. Notice all the things. Notice the Lord to whom Ale Olam is goodness, his power, and his kindness, and his wisdom. It's full of the world, and it's there for you to notice it. Have a great day.